evening and welcome to Mountain Bears on the Psychic Coffee Shop Network. I'm Mason Knight. Of course, with me tonight is the techie with Moses, but also the cubby with the Moses. He's running two titles tonight. And we'll put it across thatch so it looks like you're wearing something. But anyhow, Techie Joe.
Hi. What role was that?
Get just your two sashes here. You want us to take you with a Moses and Cubby with a Moses, and then that way it looks like you're wearing a bicross.
And then basically, because this is you, it's going to be leather and studded.
Yes.
And so really, it's more of a harness, not a, you know.
Yes, a bicross harness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I see where this is going.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Brenda sees where I'm taking this train.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brenda.
All right, so we'll cover a news story, then we'll go to an opinion piece, and then we'll go to our normal beats.
Okay, cool.
Okay, news story in your box.
So the Supreme Court denies request to reinstate Florida drag show law. Mm-hmm. All righty, so the law signed by Governor Ron DeSantis in May prohibits anyone from knowingly allowing a minor into an adult performance. The United States Supreme Court on Thursday denied a request by Florida to partially halt a judge's order blocking the state from enforcing a new law banning minors from attending drag shows. A majority of the court concurred in the decision to not grant the stay Florida asked for in October. Justice Brett Kavanaugh, in an opinion joined by Justice Amy Barrett, indicated that the court was unlikely to grant full review in the case. So, yeah, basically they're like, nope.
Not interested in entertaining this. Thank you very much. It can stay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It seems like the great big giant duh moment. Uh-huh. But given the Supreme Court as it sits, it's kind of a monumental.
Right.
That we're not even going to talk about this.
Right.
And I think that actually means a lot more than one would initially take right. from it. It doesn't do a lot of good things by, you know, creating nice settled case law.
Right.
That says, nope, we don't do that.
Right. And, you know, it holds that, you know, Florida's law cannot go enact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, basically it keeps the Florida's law from going any further.
Right.
That it's garbage. We know it's garbage.
Very much so.
And doesn't really rise to the level in which we have a debate to be had in the Supreme right. Court.
Correct.
The thing you're trying to protect people from is not a thing you need to try to protect people from. Mm-hmm. And that what you're trying to define as adult entertainment isn't adult entertainment to anyone but you.
Right.
Which is kind of, again, it's the giant duh moment.
Well, you know, what's even weirder is, okay, follow along with me. Florida makes a ton of money from us. They do. They totally make a ton of money from the gay population. We pay taxes. Mm-hmm. We buy property, we invest in property, we build on property, we make property even more so comfortable, we fix their damn neighborhoods, we improve the crime rates, we pay for Disney. Dear God, send a gay man to Disney and he will max out every damn credit card he has to hunt down some damn mouse.
And do it again, and again, and again. Like, everyone knows a Disney gay. Let me just clarify, everyone knows a Disney gay.
Right.
We know Disney gays.
You do.
Well, no, you were friends with them before, too.
Okay.
But yeah, no, like, we all know Disney gays.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an annual pilgrimage. It mm-hmm. would be more often if they could.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, this week or 2 week vacation extravaganza. Like, they save mm-hmm. up all year long,
right,
to go do this, and they just like go crazy,
right,
and then do it again,
right.
So yeah, no, like there's a lot of money,
right.
But more to the point is what this law effectively tries to do, as are all the other drag show laws trying to do, is it's trying to inflate what can occur in a bar with adult entertainment.
Right.
And what all can be covered under that.
Right.
Into any form of drag or gender impersonation is an adult performance.
Right.
And therefore, anything like a drag time story hour is subjecting a minor to an adult performance.
Right.
And in a sentence I would never otherwise construct except for this argument.
Right.
Effectively, they're treating it the same for your local favorite drag queen to show up appropriately dressed and appropriately acting, reading, you know, Cinderella or Frozen or pick your child appropriate story as being identical to, you know, your favorite drag queen showing up, doing a full strip tease, and then, like, toasting a blow gang.
See, that won't happen.
In front of minors. Yes. And it's like, these are not the same thing. Like, what, the second one never happened.
Mm-mm.
Has never happened. Will never occur.
Could never happen. They are more clothed than most people.
I mean, like, for statistical purposes, I will say there is a 0.00000001% chance of that ever happening.
Right.
And at that, it's like, oh, that is a drag queen. The community is going to disavow real quickly.
Oh, more than disavow, we'll run over with a train, put glass in her makeup.
You know, like, that's insane. Yeah. Because, hi, we'd be sitting here going, Jesus Christ, that's insane.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, there seems to be this broken idea that we are trying to convert your children.
Right.
And it's like, okay, first of all, you know, if you're going to go with this theory, straight people keep making gay kids. I don't know what the hell you expected to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them find drag and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But more to the point, we're not out here trying to convert kids. Now, are there pedophiles in the world? Yes. Are there pedophiles in the gay community? Yes. Is there a potential, a percentage of them are drag queens as well? Yes. The same as, you know, your church leaders, your, you know, camp counselors, your anywhere in the world, there is a pedophile percentage. Walking the streets, doing their thing, waiting to be caught.
Right.
But one, what we've statistically seen is that number tends to gravitate higher towards men.
Mm-hmm.
Heterosexual identified men, married heterosexual identified men, than it has ever shown up percentage wise in the LGBTQ rainbow.
Very much so.
Like, and then there's this conflation as well that, well, if you have an inappropriate sexual contact between an adult and a child of the same gender, then that person is obviously gay. And then it's like, no, pedophilia is a totally different concept than, like, traditional gay straight orientation. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. Like, this is about the opportunity for abuse, not about a different form of attraction.
Right.
And actual gender-based attraction. Mm-hmm. So trying to lump all of your, you know, screwed up heterosexual, married,
right,
pedophiles into the gay community is like, oh, no. We understand why you don't want them.
Right.
We don't want them either because they're not us.
Right.
Like, you're not getting it. Like, no, sorry. You don't get to lump them with us.
Right. Not our department, not our children, not our thing.
Well, I think the world's children are all our children, but not in, you know, terms of victims to be abused or future gays to be converted.
Exactly. We don't want to convert anybody. We just want to let the hell alone.
Okay, we just, you know, like the straight community, pretty much want kids to go have a good time, get a wonderful learning experience that is meaningful, and go about their lives and live them happily, safe from harm.
Right.
Like, I thought we all agreed on that.
Well, we do all agree on that. We also agree on the factor that, like, get the point that, you know, if you have such a problem with drag queen story hour, it's really easy to fix. The library hosts story hour every week. So that's five weeks a week. Go find five of your idiots that can read.
Mm-hmm.
And show your happy little asses up in costume and read books to your children.
And then you don't have a problem.
Or
better yet, not to ruin opportunities for drag queens, but considering most are stepping up to fill a void because no one else did.
Mm-hmm.
And please keep that in mind. Or you could just, like, take that same group of friends and volunteer to go to the library.
Right.
And do your own story hour.
Yeah.
And that would have prevented this problem, let alone, you know, I don't know a library yet that wouldn't be thrilled
mm-hmm.
to have a massive community support outpouring
right.
of people to come read and act out and dress up for
mm-hmm.
40 hour. Just saying. Like, you didn't have to go up in arms about this. You could have just gotten a costume and gone to the library.
Right.
It wasn't going to be difficult. It was never difficult.
Right.
Oh, Brenda points out the complainers are never the volunteers in any type of thing.
Exactly. You know, like, you know, I know the governing Florida is so hard. You got to count alligators and watch for hurricanes and spend time walking around in white go-go boots. He did.
All right.
Did you not see that picture of him in his white go-go boots touring after the hurricane?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, by the seventh level of hell.
Was it a real struggle to find him hip waiters? Oh, yes, Brenda points out, don't forget keeping track of Florida Man.
Yes, which most of the times is one of his family, but anyhow.
Arguably, yes.
Share screen.
Yeah, we don't hate Florida. We don't love your governor at all.
Yeah. We love Florida. We would probably move to Florida if you got better governors.
Oh, man.
See? White go-go boots.
Yeah, those boots are a fashion choice and not a good one.
After Labor Day, I tell you. After Labor
Day. Oh, dang. I think someone on his staff needs a clue. Either that or we love that person on their staff because obviously
it made they're just going pouring the hurricane victims. Was his poor choice of boots.
Yes. I'm just saying there could be an infiltrator on the staff that just plants these little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like, We got this.
Yeah.
You know. May not make me popular at the gay bar, but I work for Ron DeSantis, and I'm here to help.
Well, you know.
Just saying.
Yeah. There are 26 members of the House that is retiring this year. 17 of them are Republicans. Mm-hmm. No, 9 are Republicans, 17 are Democrats, and that doesn't include members of Congress who have resigned from Congress.
Mm.
So we may actually see some new government.
Hey, I mean, at some point we were going to have to. Some of these people are just aging out of ability
or life. Right.
Like, and I don't mean to be rude about that, but if you've been a 40-year politician, if you've been a 30-year politician, at some point.
Right.
Like, your time's up.
Right.
Across the board, no matter how you slice it. Like, your life expectancy is running out.
Right.
Like, you gotta have to retire or you're just gonna die in the chair.
Well, we see a lot of that.
Not electrocution. I mean, literally, in your Senate seat, you're gonna die in your chair.
Well, and we see a lot of that.
I'm pretty sure they have a stick to double check for that.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to wonder about the senator from Kentucky. Turtle face himself. It looks like the old turtle's getting a little slow.
There have been some stories there.
Yes.
Regarding about whether or not he has a severe hearing deficit or if there's some dementia.
Oh, I call it dementia. I've seen that blank look too many times.
Yeah. I mean, but again, this is part of the process. Like, you're not immune from this because you're a career politician and you are 30, 40 years into recurring anyway. You're not immune from it.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, it could be very hard to tell.
Right.
Until it gets so far along.
Right.
That you just can't reconcile anything anymore. You know, like, it's okay if you're 70, 80 years, 90 years old, and you just don't understand some of the new crap going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Right.
It starts becoming a little telling when you don't know what your, you know, position on a topic is, and or you keep, you know, jumping all around on it, or you just stare blankly about it.
Right.
But, you know, there's some other behavior issues that are going to occur there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them can inadvertently be mistaken for, well, yeah, that's right. Politician for you. Hot and heated over something that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it could be very possible that we could have many, especially with, you know, those that are, you know, over 70.
Right. Well, currently we have 4 that is over 80.
Mm-hmm. So it does become an issue that I think is harder to sluice out sometimes. And I think there's some that you realize it after the fact.
Right.
That, you know, they were years into this.
Right.
Before they left office.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You know, with that, it's like, you know, why don't you retire? You know, Mitch, you're 81 years old. Time to go. Chuck Glassley, you're 90. You are 90 years old.
I mean, I don't want to necessarily sit here and say by age alone. I just, but at some point, you got to sit there and go, has your career been long enough? Have you done enough?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, is it time to go home?
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that always has to be a number. But for some of them, it's like, you're not keeping up anymore.
Right.
You don't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
You know, the value of having a staff is amazing.
Right.
Truly. But some of the issues that we've seen, like Congress, like congressional hearings about,
mm-hmm.
and just the complete lack of connection to what's going on in the world.
Right.
Like, can you really sit there and say, I'm really serving my constituents by sitting here in this seat,
mm-hmm.
asking these questions, and with a whole room of people that are like, I don't even know where to start to answer that question.
Right.
Because it is so broken.
Right.
That I there's not words.
Right.
Other than, you know, the impulsive, are you stupid?
Well, I'm going, don't you have grandkids to be with?
You know, I mean, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, but there have been moments, especially in congressional hearings, where it's just like, the fact your staff couldn't get you more prepared.
Right.
Like that, because again, I don't expect, and I have senior clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of have an idea of, like, knowledge-wise and experience-wise, what they know.
Right.
And we work within that. And they're usually the first to admit that, like, no, I'm not as good as, like, my 20-year-old grandchild.
Right.
But there's typically, you know, the opportunity there to right. have a conversation.
Right.
And very carefully explain something,
mm-hmm.
and get them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that their staffs, the politician staffs, aren't able to bridge that gap,
mm-hmm.
Frightens me.
I know, but what happens when we have a full Congress under 60? How fast can we fix this credit crisis we're under when we have people living with student debt?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, and more importantly, well, potentially living with student debt.
Right.
Because there's still a, you know, if you're typically, if you have become a senator or Congress person, you financially are in a position that you don't really have experience being a quote unquote normal person.
Right.
And, or very little.
Right.
Because typically the life track for that is you start out with a degree of wealth.
Right.
Usually on the high side of middle class.
Mm-hmm.
To just flipping crazy rich.
Right.
So there's not always a guarantee that just because someone is on that track and under 60, they necessarily have, you know, real world experience to know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
I mean, granted, there's some flip side to that is if you did fill a Congress with entirely real and Senate with entirely real world experience, you may right. be missing some of the nuance of trying to deal with foreign policy.
Right.
Because foreign policy can sometimes be a very delicate situation of literally rich people talking to rich people in a way that rich people understand. You know,
I don't know. Like, you know, it just gets me. Some of the things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yes,
lovely that ads are now popping up. Anyhow, to our main discussion tonight, and I'll quote the line from that we hear so often. The call is coming from in the house. And what I mean by that is, you know, here recently with, oh, I don't know, the past 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
we both have dealt with calls coming from in the house. What I mean by that is groups that are, like, the other day, I was just aggravated, point blank, just halfway pissed about these two groups that were in Reddit, that's personal groups. And it's like,
how do y'all not get along? Like, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Infighting is weird, or the sometimes it's not even necessarily infighting. It's the delineation of two groups that are so close that it feels like a church split.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're so close. They're so close in beliefs. They're so close.
Right.
In what they're doing and how they're doing and what they want to, you know, that all of this should be under one simple umbrella.
Right.
Like, you know, there really isn't a need for an umbrella. You're one group.
Yeah.
You know, with some nuance between, like, okay, I think this, I think that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, minor tweaky differences.
I think it's lavender, you think it's purple.
Yeah. Like, that's okay. We can all agree to agree. It's still a shade of purple, no matter which way you slice it. You know, it's just not that much difference.
Right.
So were you going to go into the two groups that just shocked and horrified you that they are split on totally different continents of beliefs?
Right. And that was the nudist and the naturalist. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the wars that have gone on. You have that. Okay, so that was the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Then apparently poly isn't kink and kink isn't poly and it should not ever exist together for the lobbying. I'm like, are you fucking nuts?
I think that has more to do with the poly community, strangely enough, than the kink community.
It does.
Because it's basically, like, God love the poly community, and I do mean that. But Jesus H. Christ, how hard they try. Well, to be like, we are lily white, purest driven snow over here.
Uh-huh.
We're just people, loving people, loving people.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's it. That's all that's going on over here. And there's no kink. There's no cheating. There's no fighting. It's all beautiful. It works out so well.
Right.
And there are no problems ever.
Right.
There are no bad actors over here. There's no opportunities for abuse. There's just nothing, you know, there's nothing dirty going on around here.
Uh-huh.
The line from a full whorehouse in Texas.
Right. Although they're all chewing gum, but anyhow.
Yeah, you know. Okay. But poly poly does that with everything.
I get that. But what I'm not liking about it, really getting annoyed with it here lately, is like, how far do we need to fit in? And that's normally their thing is, oh, we got to fit in, we got to blend. Mm-hmm. That we start, you know, alienating some of the things, you know, that work. It's like pride and leather. The leathers are the ones that will show up and put up your canopies. The leathers are the ones that will scare the fuck out of the protesters. The leathers are the kink communities are the ones that'll make sure the food drive goes off without a hitch. Yeah. And every year it's this big day. Does leather belong at pride? Does, you know, kink belong at Pride? Since they're doing all the work, I think they get they should be allowed to be at Pride.
You'd think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you would almost have to debate, how the hell is there an argument if they're the ones doing all the shit?
And did all the shit.
You know what I mean? Like, that sounds like your entire committee had a whole, like, bratty moment. And decided to vote against themselves.
Well, true. But it's like, how dang often are we as sub-communities,
uh-huh.
subgroups or little boxes over here, kicking our own damn selves in the face every time. You know, oh, we ain't that because, you know, we're starting to get notoriety, so we have to look head of your normal and all white and saintly. Put on our black suits and our thin black ties and our dark sunglasses and show up. Like that ever worked anywhere.
Yeah, right. But no, I do struggle, like, this is going to sound bad. Sometimes I just have to laugh at it.
I get that.
It's like, how damn different do you think you are?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that you really think you have to pull yourself completely out or pull the, you know, away from this other group. How different do you think you are?
Right.
Like, who hurt you? You know what I mean? It becomes, and with the kink community, sometimes I think that's a valid question, is who hurt you?
Right.
Because I think your understanding of this thing is predicated on a really bad foundation.
Yeah.
And you've had a bad experience somewhere.
Yeah.
To create this level of animosity.
Well, not only that, but it's like, do y'all not get what 1 + 1 equals anymore? Like, has y'all's felicitous little brains done lost how to do mathemication?
Okay.
And yes, I'm speaking that way for a reason.
Okay. So 1 + 1.
You know, like, this got you this. I.e. a lot of the leather wearing motorcycle gangs actually got you pride. Why? Because they ran interference and said, oh, no, this is how we do this.
Great organizers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, the kink community, God love your doms and subs. You can just run a whole event.
Thank you.
Because you have obvious minions.
Yes.
They're obvious minions.
Mm-hmm.
You tell your dom what you need. The dom then tells the minions, the subs, to go do that.
Yes.
And no subs were harmed in the making of a pride parade.
That's debatable. You know, there's a few questionable ones in New York, but, you know, normally.
I mean, arguably they wanted it, but... I'm sorry, that's a horrible joke I shouldn't have made, especially in this context. But no, it really has started to almost seem weird.
Right.
Like, and I don't mean to trash Beckley Pride. I really don't. I know I'm armchair quarterbacking over here.
Well, that's because of their own bylaws.
But let me say simply this, that as an attendee that is supposed to be part of this umbrella, you know, group, I feel kind of like I'm a spectator, not part of the event.
Right. Well, it's like, what was it? Year before last. There wasn't a bear flag anywhere. They had all the other subs, you know, the bi flags, which we'll get into that one in a minute. The bi flags, the multiple trans flags, all these other flags up. Not one bear flag, not one leather flag. And I'm like, you've forgotten most of the alphabet.
Well, basically, you Cloroxed it.
Yeah.
And you went, family friendly. No assless chaps here. Family friendly.
Right.
Right across the rainbow flag. And what you got left with.
Right.
Was, okay, well, we can have the bis. We can have trans. Trans is very important.
Right.
The lesbians, we love the lesbians.
Yep.
They're here. They're always here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just like that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And okay, if you wanted to have a solo event, or a very focused event, part of me can't understand that, but I'm going, I really think you need to draw attention to the fact that's what you're doing.
Right.
Because it's really awkward.
Yeah.
To show up to a Pride event. And just kind of look around and be like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see my peoples. Not all of them. I see some of them. And I'm glad they're here, and I'm glad they're, you know. But, I like, hi.
Yeah.
Like, this feels very anti-cisgender male.
Right.
And it's, you know, I understand we're having major, conversations.
As we should be.
About what has been called the historical problem of, you know, cisgender male involvement in Pride. And the fact that it can and has sometimes led to marginalization of groups and underrepresentation of them.
But that doesn't mean you copy the behavior.
Well, it just seems very off-putting and strange to end up in a space where it's like, so what we've done is make Pride unwelcoming?
Basically.
It's like, I don't think I understand.
Yeah.
You know, but okay. Like, yeah. If this was a teachable moment, then yes, I understand what it feels like to have been other minorities under the umbrella that were underrepresented and suppressed. Like, okay, if that was the takeaway learning thing, okay. I didn't think I needed that message, but I, well, okay. But as far as like, is if this is what we're doing going forward, then I don't really understand what we're supposed to achieve other than factionalization.
Right.
Does that mean that, like, you know, if the gays, as in the G letters, all the cis male portion of Pride wants a Pride, they need to go host their own damn Pride.
Right.
Because if that's what's occurring, then that can occur.
Well, yes. And normally they do in Charleston. But what I, you know, what tests me about Beckley and still tests me about Beckley is they schedule it very close to the other events. Like, one year it was the same weekend. And it's like, okay, how do you plan to, like, get everybody to do both? There's no way.
Well, and I think that was more so the point, is they didn't want everyone doing both. If you were from Beckley and you didn't attend the Beckley Pride that year, then you weren't part of the team.
Right.
And you're a Charleston Pride people.
And
very unwelcoming.
Right. This is what I don't get. We can join Charleston Pride. Okay. We can't join Beckley Pride.
Nope.
It's the closer Pride. We can't join it.
Nope. Because it is built around the idea that you must be a resident of Beckley. Whereas Charleston Pride is like, you want to join? Like, we'll take all the peoples we can get.
Right.
Thanks, hi, please do anything. We don't care. Like, be here.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Cocktail hours at 4, show the hell up. Oh, you know how to organize? You know, oh, you know how to organize? Oh, you know how to do this? Great. We can use you. Be here at 4.
Well, and it's not even having the effect that I think Beckley Pride thought it would.
Right.
Because I'm sitting there and, or standing there more importantly, at the event, and I'm noticing that, like, if the concept was we're going to focus squarely on Beckley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, screw, you know, Mount Hope, screw Oak Hill, screw MacArthur, screw whatever. You got to be in Beckley. Then why am I looking at all these groups that are, you know, representing Mercer County?
Mm-hmm.
Which, being a former resident of Mercer County, West Virginia, I can tell you is nowhere near Beckley.
I can tell you, it's 46 minutes, mm-hmm. nowhere near Beckley.
A drive. It's a bit of a drive. Yeah. So, ostensibly, someone from these organizations
mm-hmm.
lives in Beckley and could sign up.
Right.
And that, again, that's great. I'm not mad about them being there. I'm just sitting here having a moment of, did that really accomplish what you wanted it to?
Right.
Because you seem to be okay with the idea mm-hmm. that these groups are representing, you know, different counties and different areas. And, you know, because we were seeing, you know, like a mental health provider in Princeton, a couple of different organizations in Mercer County, a Fayetteville-based organization. Like, it just were all these different, you know, places, sure. Like when you talk about the actual, like, so to speak, business side of this entity, mm-hmm. it's not based in Beckley.
Right.
It doesn't serve people in Beckley.
Right.
Or if it does, it means you drove 46 minutes to get services.
Right. Which is a short drive. But.
Well, we're in West Virginia.
What got me, what got me is, like, we can't be a part of Pride. On the Pride board, part of the Pride, any of that, because we're not in Beckley.
Right.
You know.
We do not have a physical residence in Beckley.
Right. But Cincy from Akron, Ohio can set up.
Yeah, that one I still don't get. Like, how does that work?
Me.
Like, who's your Beckley people?
Right.
Like, help me understand.
Right.
What's your Beckley connection? Because I think what's fundamentally happening is that people mm-hmm. from Beckley
mm-hmm.
are being used
right.
to sign up for vendor spots for organizations, potentially. Like, mm-hmm. tell me how Cincy from
distributor
from Ohio has enough of a connection to Beckley.
Mm-hmm.
Without either going through a parent or sibling to get in,
mm-hmm.
because they have a parent or sibling who lives here,
mm-hmm.
or is otherwise, you know, taking advantage of someone that, yeah, I have a residency in Beckley, I'll sign up for you.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, the fact that, you know, there are ostensibly people in, you know, Mount Hope, MacArthur, which, by the way, if you're not from West Virginia, these are, like, right beside.
They would be suburbs of Beckley if Beckley was bigger.
Yeah, if Beckley were bigger, this would be a suburb. They are that close. Like, they kind of blend in and out of each other.
Right.
Let alone, you know, Oak Hill, we're like 20 some minutes up the road. You know, there's all these other little communities that I would assume
mm-hmm.
one of them has someone who is under the rainbow flag that sells Cincy.
Mm-hmm.
So why does this Ohio distributor have a booth?
Right.
Like, I mean, if there's a falling out there or there's a lack of desire to be included, that's one thing. I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Right.
I think that's, you don't live in Beckley, you can't do it. But, you know, so-and-so's mom,
mm-hmm.
I'm making an argument that this may not be the case, but so-and-so's mom lives in Beckley, so we let her sign up for her daughter.
Right.
Oh. That don't make no kind of sense, but okay.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, the debate that was going on earlier in the forum that I shared with you. And I'm like, I'm kind of conflicted with this one. And it was, it's a logic, like, we see it as a logical thing. But dear gods, the fire that had went off.
Yeah.
All right, there is a big camp out with a 5-mile hike from one of the organizations. And they made it very clear, no children. We're not doing children. It's a 5-mile hike. 5 days in, it's basically roughing it.
Yeah. We are roughing it in the woods. We are a 5-mile hike to anything. Leave your children at home.
Right.
This is not a child welcoming event.
Right.
Whether it's child appropriate is another story. It's just, we don't want children. We've specifically created this as a no kids event.
Well, it's because of the hike that, you know, they're not going to be able to do it. I don't care how youthful they are. They're not going to want to participate. It's supposed to be a spiritual retreat. This isn't a place for children.
It's
spread.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even think it's just the hike that kept the kids out.
Right.
Like, it's all of it. It's the, this is not a kid event.
Right.
Like, we appreciate if your child has interest in this, and I'm, you know, if you want to create an event that is child appropriate, that's great. Go for it. This isn't it.
Yeah. Like, leave the little children at home where they belong. Come and, you know, reconnect with your, you know, divine masculine energy. Was what was
with other adults.
Yeah, with other adults. You know, I've been to some events and it's like, I wish they had left the children at home.
I mean, and this isn't about trashing kids, but it can seriously put a damper on honest conversations, especially by people without kids.
Right.
When you're in a room with children, because it's like, I have to sit here and moderate what I'm saying to make it child appropriate.
Right. Well, not only that, but I've been in rituals before where we've got, you know, of course, this is years ago for those that are watching, and we had bonfires going on all 4 points of the circle, huge-ass bonfires. And we almost had a kid that just thought he was going to jump the bonfire, and it's like,
no.
No.
And more importantly, will someone please come get their child?
Yes.
Like,
before they do,
stop leaving them stop leaving them unattended.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a safe space for an unattended child. And if you want to turn this into, well, we needed to have made it a safe space for an unattended child, then we're just not doing it.
All right. And that's because a lot of things don't happen anymore.
Well, you know, there's only so many outlet covers you can put out in nature.
Exactly.
There's only so many child-friendly locks you can put on nature.
You're right.
It's nature.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to go and baby-proof, child-proof, right, child-safe nature.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that unfortunately becomes part of the issue with it.
Yeah.
Is that once you involve children, there's an assumption this is safe for children.
Right.
That this has totally been made play school safe.
Right.
For unattended children to just meander.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is still the middle of the effing woods, and I don't want to screw up my spiritual event having to go search for a child who done wandered off.
Exactly.
Because, no, there's not a gate and a fence. And, you know, unfortunately, it's considered a really bad form to load, you know, lowjack and shock collar a child.
Been a few that I do not have a problem with. And I'll talk about one that I about lost my temper. It was about this time of the year. I was working a shop. And this parent and their children came in.
And now, there's some caveats. This isn't just a normal parent-child situation.
Right.
These were free-range children.
Right. I was getting to that one, getting to that part. Yeah. Free-range children.
Like,
go let them, you know, they need to explore their own selves and make their own mistakes. And, you know, they need to, you know, develop a bullcrap. They came in, they destroyed displays, they destroyed items. It was always a nightmare.
Well, yeah, but here's the caveat to this is I don't think anyone has a problem with free-range parenting unless you fuck up as the parent. And the fuck up as the parent in this was zero responsibility, zero accountability, and zero involvement in trying to help this child learn what their mistake was.
Right.
This was negligence of parents.
Right.
So when you hear us talk negatively of free-range parenting, it has more to do with the people who fuck it up than the people who are actually free-range parenting.
Well, there's a difference between, and there's a very high difference. There's free-range parenting where it's like, yeah, little Johnny, go and figure out what happens when you jump in a mud puddle.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, isn't that cute? He tore down that display. He's showing so much divine masculine energy. Isn't that wonderful? No, I'm not paying for the display. Why would I do that?
And you should have childproofed it. If he hadn't have been able to get to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but I can't bubble wrap a store and sell anything.
Yeah.
Like, you have a responsibility.
Uh-huh.
For your child and the crap they pull.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. It's not a hard concept from 99.9% of the parents who walk through that door. Mm-hmm. You are responsible
for your
and accept consequence for your child's behavior.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, but no, this is what sparked this big debate, you know, that, well, that is an you know, I can't come because I can't get someone to watch my kid. Yeah. That's happens.
Unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. Look for events for families. Look for events with, you know. And I don't know. Has people just gotten stupider?
Potentially. Well, but then with childcare, there's a whole bunch of debates going on there.
Right.
For some people, it's just a built-in excuse and a complaint to force events to be child-friendly.
Right.
Even though they said no children, well, you're going to make an exception for me because I have children and I don't want to do the work.
Right.
And I'm sorry, that's not an insult to people who sincerely cannot find childcare. It is difficult. I do not want that mistaken. It's difficult.
Right.
But at the same time, trying to bully your way into making an event make an exception,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
Right. And so you stay home one time, and, you know, because it's an annual event, you stay home one time, your partner stays home the next time.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it? It's 5 days.
That is certainly one option. Next year is certainly an option. Mm-hmm. Finding other parents you can connect with, mm-hmm. and be like, look, we're going to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to find an aunt, and it's going to be a long burn strategy, but we'll be there next year.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to go.
Right.
I do think, unfortunately, in, granted, again, I don't want to dismiss the demands of parenting when done correctly. Right. It's a lot.
It is.
And no, it's not going to be easy. And no, you're going to have to work through some issues and figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
And it's doesn't mean you get what you want when you want it. We thought you'd knew that going into parenting, but if you didn't, hi, surprise, here you go. It's a child. you can't just fuck off and go do whatever you want to.
Right.
And nor can you bully venues and events into like admitting your special angel, because you say they can handle it.
Right. And it's like, no, you're missing the point. You know, but that was one of the heatiest debates I had seen in that forum. Well, should children be allowed at this event?
Well, they're not, so why are you debating it?
Right. They can't, and then, you know, apparently they decided they would just go through the form and automate it. They have automated forms like most people do. And they canceled my ticket and my child's ticket. Your child wasn't of age.
Yeah. So what were they doing? Lying about the age of the child? Like they were going to show up and just be like, hi. I'm sorry. The 41-year-old is a 14-year-old. My mistake.
Oh, this is an adult, men's adult only event. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry.
I didn't know.
Yeah. What do you mean that? Yeah. I didn't see anywhere on the website. Sword and Stone Men's Retreat.
Yeah.
That one's not a man yet.
It's kind of. It's right there. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I've been through this as a child. My grandmother's church had a group called, ironically enough, Ageless Roadrunners. And they did all these really great trips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did shopping trips and theater trips and, you know, all these different events. And there was one that, you know, I really interested me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't even remember what it was. It's been 30 years ago. I was like 12, 13, something like that.
Right.
And like, we never even thought about it. Like, she knew that everyone who went on these trips was mostly seniors because they were mostly the people available to go on these trips.
Right.
But we had never even thought about, like, I mean, your name's Ageless Roadrunners. We didn't think there would be an age minimum.
Right.
It just didn't occur as a thought. And it's not like, you know, some people brought their, like, teenager as an adult 18-year-old teenager. So we asked and we got told absolutely not.
Right.
That I was a child. And I remember being kind of mad about that and have it. Part of me kind of understood it of, okay, this is an adult excursion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't want kids. They're not interested in kids being there. This is for the adults.
Right.
While also having that moment of like, but why did you call yourself Ageless Roadrunners if you have age discrimination built into your functioning?
Right.
It seems a little slap in the facey.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and it hadn't really come up because, mm-hmm. I mean, most of these were like, you know, it's an obvious little old lady tour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going clothes shopping, you're going to the Biltmore, you're going and, you know. But this one, I forget, it was a show,
mm-hmm.
and it sounded really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nope, no exceptions, not going to even discuss it, just nope.
Right.
You're under 18, can't go.
Right.
So it's not like I haven't been there. It's not like I haven't had some hard feelings about it.
See, but some of this stuff that I'm saying... Bring your child to Folsom.
What? No. Like, we talked about that one, what, last week? Week before?
Last week.
Yeah. That one's kind of clear. Like, I don't know how you go to Folsom and think, bring the kids. This is a good child opportunity.
To get them measured for their leashes, maybe, but no. Take them over to Mr. S. Lever and get them their leashes.
Or not. Just don't.
Or not.
Yeah, maybe no. But no. I don't know. I do think that we have to be understanding that adults need space. Men need space. Women need space.
I think we need to stop being understanding and start putting down some boundaries.
Well, no. I'm talking about, like, the people...
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the people that just don't seem to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, no, I think there's inherently not a problem.
Right.
In and of itself,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, gendered-based spaces.
Right.
You must be this gender to attend. Or spaces that, you know, are like, no, hi, we're adults only.
Right.
There's nothing inappropriate or sexual occurring.
Right.
But this is for adults. This is not a child experience. This is, we don't want to deal with children. We don't want to work with children. This is really going to somehow not be the experience that we're trying to give.
Right.
Or the audience for the experience.
Right.
That, you know, you must be this tall to ride. Sorry. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a conversation. We don't know how to... We don't even know how to start this conversation with children. We don't feel comfortable.
Right.
That they have the prerequisite life experience.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to take in what we're saying. Now, if you can go take this course and figure that out and develop a child-friendly version,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure someone will be happy to host it.
Right.
But without having gone through the experience,
mm-hmm.
and having not made that effort,
right.
I don't think you get to sit back and say, well, you're wrong.
Right.
My child can too.
Right.
An exception needs to be made for my child or for children in general.
Exactly.
No.
You wouldn't take your child to a bar, so why are you trying to take them to any other adult space?
Well, see, but I think that one gets made easier by the legality of underage drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that's not legal.
Right.
Why would you take your child to the Biltmore for a wine tasting?
Right.
Why? Why would you take a 9-year-old to that?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's clearly indicated in its very premise.
Mm-hmm.
This is an adult event. You must be 21 or older.
Right.
Ta-da! Have a nice day.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm saying there aren't reasons and things that children can do at Biltmore, there are, but if it's specifically for a wine tasting,
right.
That's not a kid-friendly event. Exactly. There's nothing about that that says bring a child.
Right. I don't know. Like, and again, you know, a lot of these communities, I want to tell them, the phone calls coming from the inside.
You know, the call is coming from inside the house.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any sense. Like, can you not follow this? Like, and this kind of goes back to, like, some of my college student org experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that anyone's opposed to you doing a thing.
Right.
Or wanting a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But could you please, instead of just saying we need this, make the effort to do that?
Yeah.
Because that was kind of my rule running a student org.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a plan. Don't make a request. Don't tell me what we ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a plan. It doesn't have to be complete.
Right.
You can be missing some pieces. I can help with that. But if you just want to dump it on me to figure out how to make it occur,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is you're waving your magic wand and saying, ta-da, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stare at you blankly and go, and how would you like that to occur?
Right.
What resources am I supposed to use for that? what volunteer am I supposed to put on this?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, how does this come together? Because I can't do this. But if you come to me and tell me exactly what you need,
mm-hmm.
and you have a plan and a date range in mind and a space that you'd prefer, and, you know, you have a rough idea of your budget and what materials you need, I can fill in the gaps.
Right. All right. So switching over, you found me some polyamory, so you delve into this one because this one's going to be fun.
Alrighty. So how can I be a better hinge partner to both of my partners that have abandonment issues? I'm people-pleasing myself into a breakdown, I swear. I try to be available, accommodating, overly affectionate, and still take time for...
Oh, give him a minute.
Sorry about that. There we go. Here I am. Where did I drop off or just start over?
Just start over. Save us the time.
All right. So how can I be a better hinge partner to both of my partners that have abandonment issues? I'm people pleasing myself into a breakdown, I swear. I try to be available, accommodating, overly affectionate, and still take time for me, which has chronically been an issue for years. My partners still get upset that they feel underprioritized or not chosen, especially this time of year when my work ramps up and I have to focus on it with the importance of essentially having an additional partner. I'm left exhausted and bitter that I can't have a fucking second alone, it seems, without feeling like I've let someone down. My defensiveness keeps a resolution from happening because I'm already doing the best I can. What do I do? I feel like I can't win. I'm interested to hear. Like, you take it.
Well, first of all, I think you need to introduce codependent number one to codependent number two. Okay? And then you're going to introduce something called a Google Calendar to them. So they know all the time where you are and what you're doing. And they can plan around it. And they can debate whether you're having Chinese for dinner or Japanese for dinner. Then I want to go and turn to abandonment issue one and two. Shame on you two. This man should not have to be worrying about his laundry, should not have to be worrying about sweeping his floor. Did he pack a lunch? Do you care? You know, the point of polyamory is to work together to multiply the effort. And just because he's a hinge doesn't mean that he has to dance through all the other segments of getting everything together for you. You two can play along. You two can do very well. Hinges normally can make combined relationships. The form of polyamory that would work best for this is tabletop or kitchen table polyamory. Everyone knows where the moving parts are and exactly how they can assist in creating them.
Yes. I think if that's if you want to fix it, that's pretty much roughly the advice you have to take, is that all relationships are a load sharing event.
Right.
And, you know, though I do have to say, people pleaser plus fear of abandonment and times two at that. That can be a cesspool.
Well, it can be if you allow it to be. But if you go, nope, this is how this works. This is my high time. You guys are going to have to work together and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my Google Calendar. You see the available spots. Don't like the available spots, then play rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I have to sit here and wonder, like, who's not in therapy that should be? Because it sounds like everyone. Because, I mean, yay for recognizing your problems, you know, that you're a people pleaser, that they are hopefully a self-admitted person with fear of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one. You found the problem. But moreover, it doesn't sound like anyone's working on this not just being a thing.
Right.
Like, you kind of went, oh, this is part of my identity, and then stopped there.
Right.
Because it doesn't sound like this is ever improving.
Well, and it will not ever improve as long as they're continuing this behavior.
Right, and that's what makes me think no one's getting help for this. No one's trying to move beyond identity or identifying a problem.
Right.
And moving into, okay, so now what are my coping skills for living with this?
Right.
Or how do I get better? And not just be the people pleaser who burns themselves out in exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
And ergo runs away from two relationships
quickly,
or being the person so fearful of abandonment
that
you create the perfect conditions for someone to leave you.
Yeah.
Because that's usually the vicious cycle of someone, and it's unfortunate, with fear of abandonment, is the thing you fear the most is exactly what you're gonna get.
Right. But, you know, what I don't get, and this is maybe because I am a hinge looking at this going, what the fuck?
Yeah, the fact you're not a people pleaser.
Well, I don't people please.
You don't people please. But I can definitely see that if you were looking at being in a relationship with two people with fear of abandonment that are functionally expecting all this.
Uh-huh.
You'd just be like, I'm out.
Oh, no. I think they'd be like, I'm out.
One of the two is like, nope, we're not doing this. Like, I don't think you would be in, like, I think you'd identify it before there were a relationship.
Uh-huh.
But once it came up in a relationship, if they somehow got in,
uh-huh,
you'd very quickly go, this is oil and water and does not mix.
Yeah.
This is not going to work. Unless you start working through your fear of abandonment, because I cannot
and will not,
because there's the boundaries that people pleasers don't have. I cannot and will not be the entirety of your, you know, emotional support.
Right.
I cannot kiss every boo-boo. I cannot be available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not, I don't have it. I have to be able to get up and go to work in the morning.
Right.
And that's sometimes where fear of abandonment takes someone, right, is needing like constant, never ending displays that you are still into me and are not leaving me.
Well, that's debatable because, you know, if I'm leaving you, I'm going to work. And B, you can go with me too. But C, where's my lunch? And if you want more time with me, that means you take something off my plate.
Well, yeah. Well, and I think there is definitely a recognition that needs to occur there.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes you to get what you want, you have to take some initiative.
Right.
If you want a date with your stressed out, overworked, people-pleasing significant other, do some legwork.
Yeah.
Figure out the time and their schedule they're available. Figure out what you can do in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Book it.
Yeah.
And it's a no thought, no effort, show up.
Right.
Wear the clothes that I've set out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Appear here.
Mm-hmm.
And then recognize that built into that,
mm-hmm,
you also have to look through that schedule and go, but when are they not expected to be somewhere?
Right.
Do they have time anywhere in their life?
Mm-hmm.
They are not expected to be somewhere or to do something or perform a function, and block it out. Yeah. So that they have a commitment, an appointment, to do nothing. Like, they can't be at that meeting at 3 p.m. because they are booked in for a spa or reading a book or doing something that positively benefits them.
Right. But, you know, and you've, you know, let's talk about bear mode activate.
It happened actually yesterday.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like, I will quickly, like, I heard a conversation that I was part of. I just wasn't part of. It was a discussion of, I want to go do this. And very weak, oh, that sounds like that would be great. If I have time. It was basically how this conversation was going. And I went, uh-huh, yeah. See, that conversation doesn't occur between you and the invisible assistant very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, N-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n. So I'm on my phone. I'm because this ended up being a movie date. Right. I'm looking up times for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have availability between here and here. You need travel time of this. So it has to all fit in that time. Does it fit? How long does the movie run?
Mm-hmm.
Build in an extra 15 minutes because, you know, previews and trailers and, you know, they may not be counting that in the actual movie runtime because it looks like there's a 2-hour dip between showings. So I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, plotted it all in and went, okay, y'all can go do this then.
Yeah.
It is booked on the calendar. You're going.
But that wasn't what I was talking about, but that is what they should be doing as mm-hmm. Mattos during him this time. I'm talking about bear mode activate, when it's like the only thing Asen does, drink coffee, take calls, organize files on the computer, play his game, and go to sleep. The rest of it, the metas have to figure it out.
Yeah, like a movie date.
No, not like a movie date, like the floors, the children,
yeah,
the grocery shopping, the all that.
Well, yes, that too. That's the bigger part of it.
Yeah.
But it also means that for there to be a date, that's not going to be a you-generated event.
No.
It has to not conflict with anything you're doing,
mm-hmm.
occur during a pre-scheduled downtime.
Right.
While making sure that it does not, you know, mean that every single one of your pre-scheduled downtimes is completely filled up.
Right.
And has to be doable.
Yeah.
So it, you know, hi. Yeah. I will book it.
I know.
It fits here. Y'all are going.
You will book a cheap hotel.
Hmm?
Faster than you book a cheap hotel.
You know... If I had to squeeze it in, we could have definitely gotten you a microtel.
See, I don't like the microtels.
Whatever, you'll get over it. I will send you to a 1-star if I have to. Don't make me do it. And this is me picking hotels, so you don't that's like fine. That's bad I'll enough.
Take another purse. We'll be fine.
Oh, the horror nightmares of me booking a hotel. Like, you underestimate my innate ability to find the worst accommodations humanly possible.
Dear, we have had this debate.
Mm-hmm. That's why you book hotels.
You don't book hotels.
I don't. I have to
rent cars or mail packages.
Yep. Nope.
Because he'll rent a car with 3 wheels and packages will be sent ahead of time in overnighted.
Yes. You'll get it before you even knew it was sent. it'll only cost $72 a package. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
The truck driving postal worker at the Oak Hill post office sees him coming and drops her tone. I'm telling you, that's the only way this can happen.
No, no, no. The way this happens is I, for whatever reason, cannot seem to ever start with the right flat rate box. And I end up grabbing the one that is like same day as an option. And it is. It's like 72. Like we have literally sent things out for like $30 to mail an envelope.
Right.
I'm sitting here like, I just.
Yeah.
Huh. It was easier to go forward than to try to back up. There was a line out the door. I screwed up. It was my, you know, I grabbed the wrong envelope. I was, you know, I just, it was easier to go forward than to try to back up.
Right.
And that seems to be every time I go to the post office. He goes to the post office when no one goes to the post office. I don't know what magic occurs to make that happen, but he goes to the post office, and this is all so easy because, frankly, when he goes to the post office, him and the one postal worker have time to, like, do an entire Julia Child cooking recipe, eat lunch comfortably, braid each other's hair, and still make time to send a package at the cheapest rate possible.
Well, one, at least she'd get some home cooking, because I'm quite sure she still eats at all the restaurants, because she don't cook. Lord, we don't let her cook. We'd have to increase our fire ratio to the Oak Hill Fire Department. Two, it's more likely that we will debate whether it is better to use high mileage oil or WD, you know, 1040 in her truck. And she will probably give our car a tune-up while we mail packages.
You know, but no, that is not the experience I have. I go to the post office when everybody goes to the post office. There is a line out the door, down the steps. And I finally get up to the counter. There are like 50 people behind me. All are carrying heavy loads of packages. And I just, it was easier to go forward than backward. Like, I screwed up. I grabbed the wrong envelope. I set this up totally wrong. It was easier to pay the $28, $30, $70, whatever dollars and get the fuck out of there.
Right.
Than the potential that these people were just going to start pelting me with packages because I screwed up and, you know.
No, you don't go on Mondays or Fridays. You just don't, because that is when eBay gets the shipments out.
I'm just saying. This is how it goes for me, though. I always end up there, and it's a madhouse.
Right.
You go, and it's like, would you like tea?
Yeah.
You know, let's have some crumpets. How's your mother?
Right.
You know, like, you just la, 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 over to the post office, and it's this very calm, relaxing, like, you, the fact you don't come back having had a manicure, pedicure, and a facial amazes me sometimes, really, because that, you had time, y'all both had time, but I go, and it's like, you know, everyone is jittered up and ready to assault someone.
Well, that's because you go to the Lock Galley, not the Oak Hill one.
I've gone to both.
Okay, fine. We're shipping you to Beckley. All right. Do you have an Are You the Asshole?
You know, I was looking for one, and then we got really ingrained. So, magic finger. Flip us off one. Gotta admit that Polly was a good one.
All right, let me see if I can find one.
Okay.
Viva. How slow can we go?
Gotta say, it wasn't the best day for Am I the Asshole?
Oh, this is interesting.
Okay, send it over. All right. Am I the asshole for making out with a drunk friend? So the three of us, me, roomie, and friend, went to a night out, and we went through multiple nightclubs and drank a lot. I puked after the other two helped me get to my apartment. My roommate had her boyfriend come over, and the friend helped them set in, and I was down to sleep on my bed. Then, after that, this friend came to my room and jumped on my bed and lays near myself, and we hug each other. We started making out, and she's stuck in a loop of not being right. Then gets off and comes back again and kisses me again. So we just kissed, and then she put me to bed and left. I wonder if I am the asshole.
What's your thoughts? Plead your case.
No. I'm sorry. If anything, she was. Like, you're an impaired person who has been put to bed, meaning that you've hit your limit. Like, you are intoxicated to the point of it's bedtime now.
Yes.
Night, night, sleepy, sleepy. We put a blanket over you. We close a door. We go, he's passed out drunk. And walk away to let you sleep it off. The fact that someone has entered your space, jumped on your bed, and done anything. Not the asshole. That is all on them.
See, I'm of two minds here.
Okay.
I think they're all assholes.
Okay. Everyone's shitty here.
Everyone's shitty here. You're shitty for getting yourself that drunk. She's shitty for jumping on your bed. You both are shitty for not talking about this in the morning. Like, stuff happens when you're drunk. Guaranteed fact there.
Well, I think there's missing information here.
Okay.
Like, as in, because this sounds like a fourth person.
Mm-hmm.
Or is this the third person, though, the roomie's friend?
I think this is the roomie's friend.
Okay. But now, either which way that goes, because that would define whether, is this one of the people that was also drunk?
Uh-huh.
Or is this one of the people, or is this some other person totally unrelated to the night out drinking that is potentially sober?
All right, so me, Remy, and the friend, so three, go out. We get drunk. We get back to the apartment. Roommate had her boyfriend come over, so it adds a fourth party there. Boyfriend and roommate go to bed. That takes two of them out.
Okay, so it really is the third wheel for night out drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I can't asshole someone, even if the person coming on to them is also inebriated. Like, there's a comedian that I just ran across their stuff earlier this evening, and I have to borrow a quote. It is so easy to not fuck people. You know what I mean? Like, just leave them alone. Don't. Because even if you are also intoxicated, you're at least more sober than they are, potentially. So you should be a little more capable of deciding, you know, now's not the right time.
Right.
Like, if you have to, because this basically sounds like you snuck back into the room after, you know, they were defenseless and helpless to make out with them.
Right.
Because that's what you wanted, even though you knew this was an inappropriate thing to do.
Well, not only that, but you were already drunk.
Yeah.
Like, they're drunk to the point they had to be put to bed, but you're jumping on beds.
Yeah, I mean, again, some people get more energetic and potentially, you know, like they have the same level or more of disinhibition. They're just not getting the full sedative effect.
Right.
Like, I've known drunks that bounce off the walls.
Right.
Totally disinhibited, but totally energetic as hell.
Right.
And that may be the case, is they may have been more on the disinhibition side, intoxicated, than the person who was potentially more sedated.
Right.
Again, that doesn't make it right. We put our friends to bed when they're drunk, because drunk people can't consent.
Right.
And that's kind of the end of the story there. I don't really, I have trouble caring that someone else was also drunk.
Right.
Because it seems like it's a really simple concept. I think it is. Leave drunk people alone. They can't consent. I don't care what you want.
Right. All right, the comments. Not the asshole. She basically jumped in bed with OP and took advantage of her condition. I would agree. And Joe's frozen again. He'll be back in a second. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and close the poll.
Yes.
Because we've hit that time.
We are.
All right. So they've all ruled, including us, not the asshole.
All right.
All right. All right, guys, remember, do not try to mess with your friends when they're drunk. It's not good for them.
Nope.
All righty. Oh, goodness. I cleaned up so much, and there's still so much to clean.
Oh, no. What have you done? There we go. So, of course, we want to thank Beverly Walker, Mika G, Kathy, Mary Winfield, Brenda, Shannon C, Shannon D, Lady Gwendolyn, Charles Shaw, Tracy Van, Caitlin Bell, and Devin. If you'd like to learn more about us, the show, and how you, too, can become a Patreon sponsor and receive all the wonderful benefits our baristas receive, please visit us at PCSPnetwork.com.
Yes, we will see you on Sunday.